Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas. I'm Barbara Little, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time and Father's Day. Bishop Mulvey is unable to be with us, so Father Tom Goodwin will proclaim our gospel, and then we will visit with Mr. Rene Gonzalez, Superintendent of Schools for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, who will give us his perspective on Catholic education. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
There's a lot going on in the world today, in our country, and in the Catholic Church. Holy Family Parish 2509 Nogales will be hosting an evening of hors d'oeuvres and conversation with Bishop Michael Mulvey, Thursday, June 20th at 6 p.m. You're invited to visit with the bishop as he discusses issues facing the church. Free child care will be provided. If you need child care, please call and RSVP at 882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. As I mentioned in the intro, today is Father's Day, so I want to send a special wish to all of the fathers and grandfathers and uncles and brothers and any men who have taught us so much. They've been mentors to us, and we wish them a wonderful day, and we want to say a special thank you for being there for us. So happy Father's Day, and enjoy your day. As we noted earlier, Bishop Mulvey is unable to be with us today. So to read us our Sunday gospel, we're pleased to welcome Father Tom Goodwin, who is the Director of Religious Programming for KLUX. Here's Father Tom Goodwin with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop Mulvey was unable to be with us this Sunday, so we have the pleasure of having Rene Gonzalez with us today. Rene is the Superintendent of Schools for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. Welcome, Rene.
Thank you, Barbara, and good morning to everyone.
Good morning. Well, we're thrilled to have you with us. Well, my first question to you is, what do you do as Superintendent of Schools, and how long have you been with the diocese doing this?
Actually, I began working with the diocese back in 1980, so as of July 1, I will begin my 30th year with the diocese. I've been superintendent for the past 11 years, and what I do as a superintendent, A variety of things. The most important thing that we do, of course, we ensure that our Catholic schools are truly Catholic by assisting our principals and our teachers, our pastors, in setting up programs of faith formation that address not only the doctrinal needs of our students, but also the spiritual needs of our students and families. So that's our primary focus. Also, another thing we do as superintendent is the fact that I oversee the educational programs, the academic programs of all of our Catholic schools, and that goes from curriculum to textbook selections to what is actually taught in the classroom, the number of minutes that have to be taught in the different academic areas, and so forth.
I've always wondered that. So if you have a student that's at St. Patrick's and, say, one at OLPH in the elementary school, are the fifth graders in each one of those schools having the same textbooks and the same curriculums?
Basically, they have the same curriculums.
Okay.
Textbooks, we offer a variety of textbooks that are adopted at the state level, and, of course, as a diocese, we adopt those as well. So the schools actually have anywhere from 3 to 5 different texts in the subject areas that they can choose from. But as far as the curriculum, that is something that is constant and standard throughout the diocese. All 19 of our Catholic schools in the diocese use the same curriculum guides.
That's great. So, well, you answered one of my questions. So there are 19 schools in the diocese.
19 schools, yes, primarily in Corpus Christi, but we also have schools in Rockport, Robstown, Alice, and Kingsville.
Right. So primarily elementary, and then we have several middle schools.
In the city, we have 3 viable middle schools, Bishop Griega Middle Preparatory School and Current Word Academy Middle School and Our Lady of Perpetual Help Academy.
Right, and then 2 high schools, correct?
2 high schools, yes, John Paul II High School and Current Word Academy High School.
Right, and just this past year, we've had graduations from both of them. Of course, it was very special for John Paul II because that was their first year of graduating.
Yes, it was their inaugural class. Very, very exciting day for the families and especially for the students. I highly admire the families and the students for have taken the leap of faith that they did in having their children enrolled at John Paul II. Years ago, when the children set foot on the campus, it was brand new territory for them. They came in as freshmen, but they were also the upperclassmen because they had no upperclassmen ahead of them to help guide and form them. And so, in essence, they were burning the path, if you may, to set the standard, to set the type of expectation that we would want for students coming into JP2 High School. So, again, I admire the families and the students for having taken that leap of faith and for having entrusted the school and the diocese in providing the educational and faith formation for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, graduation was a very special time for both John Paul II and Incarnate Word because they were held in the cathedral. They weren't at American Bank Center with the other high schools, the public high schools. They were at the cathedral. So how beautiful that must have been.
Very, very special because we began the graduation ceremonies with Holy Mass. It's most important that the Mass, of course, be the, since it's the focal point of who we are as Catholics, the Eucharist is, it's important to begin our ceremonies with the Mass so that we can have that sense of unity with the Catholic Church, for our students to realize that it's more than just a Catholic school, but we're connected with the Catholic Church. And in essence, again, bringing the Eucharist as the focal point of our lives, it's important to be able to celebrate that with our students.
All right, so we have, so a child could go from kindergarten all the way through high school, I mean to the 12th grade, senior in high school for Catholic education.
And in both our high schools, in Current Word and John Paul II, we have students that come from outside of Corpus Christi to, of course, be part of our programs there. So, yes, even though the high schools are in Corpus Christi, they're available to anyone in the diocese who would want to enroll and participate in our programs.
What would be your mission as superintendent of schools?
Our mission, I'd say it's more than just my mission because there, of course, it's the Office of Catholic Schools that's tied into the Diocese of Corpus Christi. But our mission is to ensure to our community that the schools that where we offer our education are schools that are truly Catholic, schools that bring to our students and to our families a daily encounter with Christ. It's most important that as Catholic educators, we ensure 300% the fact that before anything, our students need to have a very, very sound Catholic doctrinal, spiritual, formational type of education. The academics are of utmost importance. It's important to all of us to have high academic standards, but above that, it's most important that we train our students, that we engage them in what it is to be Catholic, and not only the doctrine, but different types of experiences that are faith formational based so that they can know what it is to be a truly Catholic person. We would expect for them to leave our schools not only being prepared for college and for life, but to know what it is to be a good, sound Catholic person. It's important that they realize that when they go into the real world, that they are prepared to make the proper choices, even those that are not the most popular ones, but the choices that'll help them be able to continue to grow in their faith and to be proud to be Catholic. Mm-hmm. One of our missions is to do, the most important mission is to do that. The other, of course, is to make sure that we can assist our families and our students in building a close relationship with God. We want them to know, love, and serve God more fully. And again, we do that on a daily basis because, again, it's important for them to realize that above everything, they need to be Catholic and they need to be proud of that.
And I would think that what they learn in school is kind of a two-way street. What they learn in school, then they take back home with them. And
yes.
Then they have the formation and the values at home, and they bring that to school with them.
Yes, we do work in a partnership with the families. We work together. We cannot do it. Families can't do it by themselves. We certainly can't do it by ourselves either. So we do work in partnership with families to be able to work with the student and to form them in a manner that is going to be acceptable to society and, of course, to the Catholic Church.
Now, I heard from parents, and when I go to church too, and somebody gets up and they talk about having their children go to Catholic schools, the amount of money is always discussed. Can you explain to our listeners why is it that Catholic schools are expensive?
Well, that's a very good question. Catholic school tuition is expensive. However, it is only a portion or a percentage of what it actually costs to educate a child in the public sector. Tuitions have to be at a higher level because, first of all, we have more and more laity that serve in our Catholic schools. Back when I was going to Catholic school, the entire faculty administration were religious sisters or religious brothers.
Right.
So the cost was much less at that time. But now being the fact that the laity is the higher percentage of people serving in our schools, we have to provide for them. We have to make sure that we do in some form or fashion present to them just salaries. I mean, they've got to be able to live.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be able to pay them according to, of course, to the best of our ability, but so that they can live, so they can be able to make their house payments and to be able to have food on the table for their children.
Provide
so
for their
forth.
Families.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Reason that the tuition is what it is the fact that we do not receive any state or federal funding. We don't receive any tax money to be able to run our schools.
Mm-hmm.
They're self-sufficient schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say that I have the utmost respect for our pastors and for our principals at our various campuses. They work very diligently to provide for families, those families who want their children enrolled in the Catholic schools, to provide that venue for them. They work very hard to make sure that they have different forms of tuition assistance available so the families can take advantage of a Catholic school education.
So if somebody was interested in sending their child to Catholic schools and they needed some help with financial assistance, what steps would they take?
The first step is to contact the principal of the school.
Okay.
To let them know what their situation is, let them know that they are interested in wanting their child to attend the school, and to see what type of assistance they might be able to provide. If it's more than what the principal is able to provide for the family, then the principal engages in conversation with the pastor to see if there's any type of funding available at the parish level. And at the diocesan level, through my office, the Office of Catholic Schools, we do provide to most of our schools tuition assistance so that they can have that extra amount of money to help families that are in need of such assistance.
Well, that's good to know. So the first step would be to talk to the principal.
Yes, ma'am.
School principal.
That's correct. There is one point I wanted to make. We were talking about graduations. I did want to also state that I was extremely proud of the fact that we had a graduating class at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Academy.
Really?
Yes, it was a very exciting evening for our children, for our families. I'm just so very proud of the fact that we were able to offer that to those families. I must tell you that, I highly respect Monsignor Michael Edis and his principal, Miss Linda Cantu, for the work that they have done over the years to provide this venue for our children. They've worked so diligently in bringing together a program to address the needs of the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. A series of years that they sat and worked with my office to make this possible for the families there at Our Lady of Perpetual Help. So again, hats off to Monsignor Edison, to Ms. Cantu for the work that they've done in providing this for our children.
Well, hats off to everybody in your office too, because that was a good partnership.
Well, thank you.
Between everybody in your office and
But I highly credit Monsignor Edis and Ms. Cantu. They're the ones that did all the groundwork, if you may, mm-hmm. in making this happen. But again, just a very, very exciting and a very proud time for them and for us.
I have a question. You know, what is the difference between the Catholic schools and the public schools when it comes to the curriculum?
When it comes to the curriculum, when we're talking about academics, they are very similar.
Okay.
The programs that are offered in public school regarding language arts, math, science, social studies, government, so forth, are offered in our Catholic schools as well. Our curriculums are based on the TEKS, which are the minimal standards in the public school that the public school expects of their schools. And we build on the TEKS by adding our Catholic values to that and, of course, the national standards in the areas of science, mathematics, and language arts. So academically, two schools are very similar. What is different about a Catholic school is that we have, as Catholic school educators, we have the distinct opportunity to form the whole child. And by that I mean we not only form them academically, socially, physically, but most importantly, we form them spiritually. We have the opportunity to bring into our teaching on a daily basis Catholic doctrine. And not only the teaching of catechism through the doctrinal programs, but the experiences that we give them faith formationally. They're able to attend Mass at least once a week. Some schools, students attend Mass daily, depending on the time that they have available to teach, of course, the religion and then the other academics. So the difference is that we bring in God. We bring in the fact that we can teach the religion. We're able to, as I said previously, we're able to bring the students to a closer relationship with God, to know, love, and serve Him more fully.
Mm-hmm. And the relationship between the public schools and the Catholic schools seems to be a very good relationship.
Oh, a very good one, yes, yes. In fact, there have been various times where the superintendent of the public school, Mr. Eliff, has come to functions that have been sponsored by John Paul II, by Incarnate Word Academy, and by other schools that that have offered programs and have invited him. So there's been a very good relationship between our schools and the public schools.
We just want the children in our community to be educated.
Of course, of course.
We
do what public schools and what we do are the same thing. We want to make sure that we provide the best academic programs for our children possible. So we work very closely in that partnership.
Now, two high schools that we have, Incarnate Word and John Paul II, one is a diocesan school and the other one is a private school. John Paul II being the diocesan, Incarnate Word being the private. What does that mean?
That is correct. What you've stated is correct. Actually, we have three types of schools.
Okay.
We have the parochial schools, we have the diocesan school, and the private school.
All right.
Let me begin with parochial. Parochial school is a school that is supported by the parish. For instance, St. Pius X is a parish-based school in that it not only sits on the property of St. Pius Parish, but it's supported financially, spiritually, and so forth by the pastor in the parish. So a parochial school is one that is sponsored by and supported by the parish. The diocesan school, Bishop Gurria Middle Preparatory School and John Paul II High School, those schools are supported by the diocese. They are created by the diocese and supported by, of course, our bishop and Office of Catholic Schools and the other diocesan entities that are involved. Then we have the private schools, such as Incarnate Word Academy. Mm-hmm. Those schools are owned and operated by a religious community, in this case, the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament. And they, in partnership with the board of directors, provide the finances, provide the different types of venues that are needed to run their schools, to operate their schools. The connection between the private school with the diocese is that they are accountable to our diocese faith formationally. Our bishop has to approve and has to support the faith formation programs that are offered at Incarnate Word Academy. And, of course, they are invited by the bishop to operate as a Catholic school.
Okay.
Second thing that they have to do, of course, is make sure that they are following the accreditation standards that are expected by the state of Texas, and that is done in conjunction with my office.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, all of them have some sort of fundraisers one way or another. I know that the parish schools are having fundraisers to help them. In a lot of cases, it's going to tuition assistance.
True. That is absolutely right. The fundraisers, again, as I stated previously, help defray the cost, the actual cost of the student attending the school. The tuition may be $3,000, but the actual cost of educating that child could be as high as $6,000. So the difference between what is being paid and what's actually costing the school to educate the child is subsidized by the parish and by fundraisers. That certainly helps keep our schools in operation.
That's right. So any of our listeners out there, when the school is having a fundraiser and they're selling tickets or HEB gift cards, we need to help them out.
Or we have the various fiestas or the Fall Fest. Please, by all means, come and help support our schools so we can continue to provide the education to our children.
We need. Let's talk about registration. You have registration how many times during the year?
Well, actually, the pre-registration begins as early as February. Of the current school year for the next school year. Okay. We start looking at the numbers of students who are currently enrolled in our school and asking how many of them will be returning. So we begin the process of pre-registering those that are already in-house. 2-3 weeks after that registration period, we offer an open registration for anyone else that is not part of our Catholic school system but that wants to become part of that to have that opportunity to do so at that time. And then, of course, throughout the summer, we continue to keep our registration open for families who, for whatever reason, were not able to pre-register in the spring semester. So actually, as I stated, it starts in February and it runs through the summer for the next school year.
Do you have certain circumstances where they may not be able to participate in the fall semester, but they start in the spring semester? Does that happen?
Yes, it does.
That can happen.
For a variety of reasons, we could have people moving into the city. We could have people that have been in public school and are looking now to have their child enrolled in a Catholic school for the faith formational part of what it is that we offer. Just a variety of reasons, but we do have that where students actually do register in our schools in the spring semester.
Okay, and so where credits are concerned or things like that, you work with the public schools to make sure the student is whole.
Very definitely.
For their credits.
For their benefit, we have to make sure that what they're bringing from the public school into the Catholic school is something that's going to help them in their educational formation and to be able to move into high school and eventually into college. So, yes, we do work very closely with the public schools in that regard.
Well, what else would you like to tell us about your office and what you do?
Well, just couple of things that we do. Our office is very, very much involved in the life of our schools. We are not an office that sits behind a desk from 8:30 to 5 every day. We actually go into our Catholic schools. We visit various times throughout the school year, informally and formally. The informal visits, of course, are with the principals just to see how things are going, if there's anything we can do to continue help to be resourced to them, to help them in their ministry. And the formal visits are those in which we go into the classrooms, we take a look at the academic program, we set goals and standards that we would want to see achieved in a particular school year. So by going into the classrooms and visiting formally, that affirms us that what we're asking of our teachers and of our administrators is actually happening. So we have, again, the informal visits, the formal visits. When we're invited to advisory board meetings, we're there. When we're invited to different programs, whether they be awards programs, Christmas programs, whatever the case may be, if we have time in our schedule to be able to be of support, then, of course, we're happy to attend and to show our support to our
schools. You're out in the field a lot.
Very much so, yes, and I prefer it that way. I tell people time and again, people are more important than paper. Mm-hmm. We can take care of the paperwork at a later time, but taking care of the needs of the people is most important.
That's great, and I'm sure they love having you all come out and showing off what they've done.
Oh, yes, and I'm just very proud of what they do. They work so, so well with their families, with the students, and within what's expected from not only from our diocese, but from the State Texas Catholic Conference Department.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. If you could tell me a little bit about accreditation, how does that work with the Catholic schools?
Well, we are accredited. Our Catholic schools are accredited through the Texas Catholic Conference Education Department, which is under the umbrella of the Texas Education Agency and TEPSAC, the Texas Private School Accreditation Commission.
Okay.
So the accreditation that we provide for schools, again, is tied into the state because we do want to be recognized through the state as an entity that's viable viable operation for the education of our students. What that means is that if we have a student in our Catholic school that moves into a public school, there would be no problem with them doing that, and that what we offer in our schools is recognized as accredited or as a credit through the state. Mm-hmm. So the accreditation process, of course, is tied in, as I said, to the Texas Education Agency. How that happens, once every 7 years, our school receives a formal visit from a team that is composed from people outside and inside of the diocese. There is a format in which they have to follow in order to be able to receive their accreditation status from the Texas Catholic Conference Education Department.
So when they come, do they make the visit of all the Catholic schools here in the diocese at one time, or do they do it intermittently?
They do it intermittently. Okay. We have a certain amount of schools every year that go through the process. So within a seven-year period, all 19 of our Catholic schools go through the formal accreditation process.
Mm-hmm. Like being audited, I bet.
Very much like that. What happens is that the school that is going to receive the visit has to create a document that we call the self-study document, which is really a picture. It's a self-portrait of what the school is about, how it operates, what the school's mission is, what their philosophy and vision are, and just what it is that they offer academically and physically and so forth. So that document has to be completed and sent to my office. We review it. We send it to Texas Catholic Conference Education Department for their review. And then that goes to the team chair, the person who is going to come in and chair the visiting team for the accreditation visit. So the document itself, self-study document, takes anywhere from 14 to 18 months to complete. We want to make sure that the school has enough time to properly give the team that is coming in for the visit a good idea of what they're about, who they serve, why they serve. Mm-hmm. It's a long, drawn-out process, but it's one, again, that is very beneficial to our schools, in that we have to ensure to all our publics, all the people that have children in our schools and who are wanting to have children in our schools, the fact that what we do is recognized by the state and it is credited by the state, so that it's along the same type of educational academic venue as the public school system.
Mm-hmm. And then you get a report afterwards.
Yes, we get a report anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks after the visit. And once the report is given, it's shared with the school, and then twice a year the Texas Catholic Conference Accreditation Commission comes together to assign the accreditation statuses to the different schools.
Well, in our last remaining minute, you want to encourage all the parents to think about Catholic education?
We would very much want to do that. We would very much want to invite and welcome families to our Catholic school system. We would very much like to have the opportunity to work with our families to form their children. The children are the most important natural resource that God ever created. And to have the opportunity to work with our families to help form them is something that, as they say in the commercial, is priceless. Mm-hmm. And we would very much want that opportunity. We would want to welcome, again, our families to our schools. Any way that our parishes or the diocese can help with their system in getting their children into our school, we would very much want that opportunity.
All right. So talk to the principals, talk to the parish priest, or they can call your office here at the diocese.
Absolutely. Yes.
If they have any questions. Well, Renee, thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you to our listeners. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.